He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, April the 16th, post-tax day deadline. I hope you were in line at midnight down at the post office getting those taxes in, paying the government, giving them their share. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We're off to a weak start in the market. It started off a little bit on the strong side, and now we're dropping. And it's all about news coming out of the Strait of Hormuz, out of Washington, D.C., out of Tehran, etc. Right now we have the Dow down 54 points. It's at 48,409. The NASDAQ is down 53 points to 23,961. The S&P is down 5, but hey, listen, the S&P 500 hit a new all-time high yesterday. Can you believe that? And who told you, 3 weeks ago, this was a compelling buy opportunity? Now the S&P hits a new all-time high yesterday. Gold is down $5.80 to $48.17. Crude oil is up now. Okay, that's why the market's come off here. Oil was up, or was down a little bit at $89.13. Now it's above 90 again, just a little bit. Got down under 90 here just a while ago. And when it went above 90, the market turned around. You see how that relationship works? And last but not least, we've got gold down just a little bit. And Bitcoin, if anybody cares, is down 320 to 73,847. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I'm here, as usual, with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and our certified financial planner. Did you get your taxes in there, Barry?
Yeah.
Extension time.
I tend to go extension. I did get it into the mailbox before the 5 o'clock pickup at the post office down the street.
Was there a long line?
There was not. There was not. I just
Procrastinators International usually is in line at. No.
Yeah, I always like to drop it off. I always like to drop it off at the box, though, just because, there's some sensitive info, some Social Security numbers, some other stuff. It says IRS on the front. So instead of leaving it in my mailbox out front, I did do the legwork and dropped it off.
I'm usually October 15th at midnight.
Those
are the real procrastinators.
Yeah,
I'm a busy guy. What can I say? All right, well, it was a mixed day for the market yesterday, but... If you can believe it, where were we 3 weeks ago in the depths of darkness as war raged in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz closed up and oil went above $115 per barrel? And I said, look, just relax. The market's going to return to earnings. Not even a cloudburst lasts all day. It eventually blows over and the sun is shining and there may even be a rainbow involved. And now we're seeing new highs. And all the people, Barry, when I write an article, I've only written 5 macro articles in my entire career in the market, 25 years, all 5 now. We're right on the money, right at the bottom. And you remember the comments that I got. I think there was 250 comments. Oh, are you crazy? This is World War III. Oil's going to 200. The economy's going to collapse. No, you're listening to the pundits that want everything for that to happen. I look at the earnings and the facts underneath the surface, and I take the emotion out of the equation, okay? Right, Barry?
Well, the comments have gotten better. I actually went back and reread the article this morning.
Did just they change their comments or what?
Yeah, I don't know if they can delete them, but I got, April 14th, you got one that said good macro call as always, and then of course on April 9th, you got a you nailed it, bro.
That's the first compliment I've gotten in 25 years. I mean that, really. That warms my heart. Okay.
When it's aged, it's aged very well. I mean, you put, you know, yes. came out April 6th, which was last Monday, and the market, the S&P, like you said, hit an all-time high yesterday, and it's up, the S&P's up a little over 6% since you wrote it. So,
yes,
so
and our portfolios are up way more than 6% since we wrote it. Okay, well, anyways, the S&P 500 wrap, I'm not looking for accolades. I'm looking to make money for people out there and listeners. And I try to steer you away from the people that are just planting clickbait to get watches and reads of their articles. We're not about clickbait here. We're about brutally honest truth that you can count on, okay, with no other agenda. The S&P's rebound to fresh record highs just days after a 5 to 10% drawdown marks an exceptionally rare episode in market history, underscoring the resilience of risk appetite despite lingering macro uncertainty. Well, the risk appetite comes from the underlying fundamentals of the market. If somebody is the same person they were 10 years ago versus today, you can't all of a sudden say, oh, this guy, he's a loser, blah, 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 blah. This market is a loser. These earnings don't mean anything. They mean the same today that they meant 10 years ago. They're genuine, they're real, and you can count on earnings when push comes to shove. And if I haven't taught you anything else in the stock market and how to make sense of it and how to keep it simple, watch the earnings. I watch them every day. And in real estate, it's location, location, location. In the market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. Now, yesterday, Barry, I was really surprised. We were actually down a little bit yesterday, despite the NASDAQ having a pretty good day. And it's all the stocks that have been faltering recently that all of a sudden exploded to the upside. Somebody, some big institution out there got the buy signal to go into Tesla, to go into Microsoft, to go into Adobe, to go into all these beaten-up software stocks. Now, that may be a one-day phenomenon. You know, Tesla had its biggest day in over 8 months. What drove that? Is it just dip buying and going to the bottom of the chain, the food chain, and buying the stocks that haven't participated? Is that what was happening yesterday? Was there some value investors at work in the market yesterday? Anyways, we don't own those stocks that are out of favor and have been beaten up. We own the stocks that have been flourishing. And maybe there's going to be a time here in the near future where we got to take some profits again. We'll just have to take it day by day, one stock at a time. And that's what I do here in the quiet of the war room every single day.
That's right.
Where it's peaceful and quiet, and the outside influences of the world and the media and all the pundits are blocked off from my purview. Okay,
well,
let's
the interesting,
take a look.
Oh, Bill, did you see the stat? I guess the NASDAQ up 11 days in a row, longest streak since December of 2019. So think about,
well,
go
listen.
Back to what we were all doing in December of 2019 before anyone knew what COVID was.
Would you give me one more stat? Look this up. How many games in a row have the lowly San Diego Padres won? Is it 8, 9? They're the hottest team. Not only have I experienced this big NASDAQ explosion and owning it and participating in it, how many games in a row have the
7
go pot? Ah,
seven
my
wins
gosh.
That's
a world record.
And that's as of the 16th. So, yeah, today would be, would be an 8th in a row.
Last night I was getting ready to retire, and I said, I'm going to check on the score of the Padre game. Because when it's in San Diego, it's 10 o'clock here,
it's
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's past my bedtime. And I looked, and they're down 6-0, okay? I wake up this morning, they won 7-6.
With a walk-off
that's
victory.
Unbelievable. That's
four-run
ninth.
Five-run ninth, I think.
Everything's coming up roses all of a sudden in my life. Amazon yesterday, huge day. Where did that come from? This has been a dead stock for so long, and you know, Amazon's making deals. It's mostly, I don't know, the streamers are choosing Amazon with their AWS and all this and that. And you know, it was all of the stocks that have been passed by over the last 6 to 8 weeks, all of a sudden are the one that everybody wants to bring to the dance. And that all happened yesterday. Now, okay, let's get down to a bit of a dose of reality. Europe has maybe 6 weeks of jet fuel left, says the IEA head, Birol. Well, what do they do when they run out of jet fuel? Do they still have trains, buses, bicycles,
electric bikes? They got plenty of trains and bicycles.
Horses? Well, you know what? Jet fuel. I guess jet fuel's got to go through that Strait of Hormuz, and nobody's letting jet fuel. If you're planning a European vacation, make sure they got to get enough gas for a round trip, okay? Because you don't want to be stranded in the Netherlands. Okay, we'll be right back. This is going to be a fun day. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. What's that noise that they make if you're approaching a nuclear power area? Some kind of warning, you know, nuclear radiation. Yesterday, what in the heck is going on? Nuclear energy stocks, including Oklo, NuScale Power, Energy Fuels, extended strong gains for a third day on Wednesday alongside a raft of news announcements in the sector. Oklo, this week, up 28.9%. NuScale, which makes the small modular reactors, as does Oklo, up 21%. Energy Fuels, which is a uranium stock, don't go down in that mine without some kind of a suit. You think molybdenum is poisonous. That uranium is not good to pick up and touch. We also had UR Energy, Cameco. But here's some of the news from this past week. Check this out. We've got Rolls-Royce. How many times have we talked about Rolls-Royce being a nuclear power stock? People think of these cars that take up two blocks when you park them. But no, they also do all kinds. Well, they make jet engines. Your Boeing engines, you either have a Rolls-Royce engine or you have a Boeing engine. Or no, is it GE? General Electric.
GE Aerospace, yeah.
Yes, and Boeing's the fuselage and the seats and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, Rolls-Royce secured $814 million in funds from Britain's National Wealth Fund to develop the UK's first small modular reactors. We've been talking about the small modular reactors for a long time. Unfortunately, there aren't any yet. It's kind of a race to get the first commercially, saleable, scalable one. And really, SMR and Oklo are leaders in that race. A lot going on in Idaho as far as developing them. But it doesn't look like there's anything in the near term. I keep hearing 2030. Before we have one. But that's a big injection of money. Now, Amazon backed X Energy, which is not public. They're going to do an IPO. Amazon is going to back. Maybe someday on Amazon, you'll be able to go on and put in your shopping cart a small modular nuclear reactor to run your home.
Just right to carry around with you. Yeah, take
be
it on a
camping
trip. Be
careful when you microwave something. It might be a little too much, blow up the hot dog or whatever. But Amazon is now a big player they're a big player in everything. That's why he called it the A to Z store. And then the U.S. government is clearing a sweeping initiative to bring nuclear energy technology into space, called the National Initiative for American Space Nuclear Power. How about that? And remember, I'm a guy that in 1979 was at the No Nukes concert in San Diego Sports Arena. Not because I was a no nukes kind of guy or no whales kind of guy.
You're a music fan.
Whales kind of guy. I was a music fan. Yeah. I went to see Bruce Springsteen and Bonnie Raitt and Jackson Browne and Graham Nash and all the rest. There were some great Jesse Colin Young. There were some great entertainers. That was one of the great concerts of all time in my book. And I think you can buy it on a CD or download it somewhere. Maybe I'll do that today after
check,
the show.
Check out some YouTube.
Go
on
back
that.
In time in and there. Listen to that thing, and maybe I can hear myself yelling at the concert. Anyway, there's a big deploy. The NASA wants to deploy 20 KWE. Space reactor into space. So there's some initiatives going on there.
Well, they need them for that moon trip. I mean, they need them for that moon trip because if you want to have power in space, you either got to go solar, and there's certain parts where you know the sun doesn't hit the moon in certain parts for periods of time, and so you got to have another power source, and you don't have enough batteries to put up there. So the next wave, right, is nuclear.
Yeah, a little modular reactor attached to the space capsule. Okay, the other two big words, the elephants in the room today in the market, crude oil and the word ceasefire. And there's hope, there's talk. I mean, Iran's got the pressure. They got a tourniquet on their, you know, they have a blockade going on which blocks all money coming into Iran, the coffers that they need, the people could rise up. You got a lot of big problems there in Iran. And maybe they've got enough pressure. They're talking about a second round of peace talks in Islamabad over there in Pakistan. And that has the market hopeful today. And I think the market's going to trade throughout the day on every time Trump goes on True Social with a text of some sort, the market will rise and fall. That's just the world we live in these days. And they're also looking for an alternative. They're considering a two-week ceasefire to allow more time to negotiate a peace deal. And Iran is said to have proposed allowing ships to sail freely through the Omani side of the Strait of Hormuz without risk of attack. Okay, so they may have a workaround for yeah. now. They, just don't,
who knows?
Don't book a cruise through the Strait of Hormuz yet.
When I saw that news, it made me think maybe Iran knows there's a handful of mines on their part
yeah.
of the strait.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, stay over there on the Oman
yeah,
side, work
Omani
your way
side.
Up.
Yeah. That, you know, my nephew, who is a PhD in the Harvard doctorate,
yeah.
Teaching classes and the protege of the disruption dilemma, Clay Christensen, one of the great books of all time on disruptive companies. He goes to Oman and meets with the government there in helping them diversify. They, you know, if you sit down at a big conference table with all the Omanis and you say, what's your number one product?
It's oil.
Oil.
Oil-based. Yeah, petroleum.
No, yeah, there's no, you know, there's no mixed nuts or cashews or almond butter. Nothing like this. It's all oil. And he's helping them diversify. And you know, all the Middle East countries are looking to diversify their mm-hmm. economies. You look at Saudi Arabia today. I bought Dubai chocolate recently at Costco, you know, and that's pretty good stuff. I don't know if my nephew told him to start a chocolate thing and Swiss chocolate and combine right. it with pistachios and it's delicious and get it on the aisles of Costco, and it's working. Initial jobless claims. Well, I didn't lose my job last week. You didn't lose your job, but 207,000 people did. But that's a low number. Okay, that's an extremely low number. And as we always say, that will be the first place an economic slowdown shows up. Will be in the weekly unemployment claims. The oil shock that we've just gone through and are still in has put the U.S. on track as a net crude exporter for the first time since World War II. How about that?
Wow, that's.
You know, I was on the other side of that, the oil embargo, two of them in the 70s, when I had to wait in line for 2 hours to fill my little Datsun pickup with gasolina. And now we're on the other side of that. We are a net crude exporter. We were totally dependent upon Middle East oil back then. Okay, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about a little SpaceX, Google, all kinds of things. I mean, I'm going to have to hurry to get through all this.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, we're writing up an article for Seeking Alpha on SpaceX. And I saw news yesterday, the U.S. Navy drone test exposed risk of heavy reliance on SpaceX's Starlink. So they're testing out these drones, and all of a sudden the Starlink system goes down. They had a global outage. It cut communications, leaving multiple autonomous boats idle off the California coast, Reuters reported on Thursday. You don't want to be in a boat sitting idle. I've been there. Off the California coast. One time my autopilot went out in my boat. I was going out by myself. And Barry, it went into circle mode.
Yeah.
And I circled about 3 miles off of Oceanside. I must have looked like an idiot. And I could not get it out of autopilot.
Circle mode.
Yeah, circling.
Just kept going. Yeah.
In a circle, a nice little tight circle. But I go, what in the heck? I didn't want to call the Coast Guard. That's embarrassing. Finally, I don't know, something. But anyways, the Navy's out there, and I used to see the Navy testing stuff all the time in the ocean off of San Diego and Oceanside. But Starlink goes down. Now, what does that do to his desire, his plans to launch data centers into space? There's got to be a big chunk of this depends on Starlink. I just have my doubts about SpaceX, and this just kind of confirms what I've been thinking. This has not really been tested out. Launching a data center into space that will get its power from the sun, will get its cooling from the atmosphere up there where it's very cold, and will get its connectivity from the Starlink network that is up in the sky. CoreWeave is going to offer, what do you think about this? CoreWeave's been a good stock for us, really good. It is a building block stock for artificial intelligence. They're offering an offering of bonds, $1 billion, at 9.75%. Does that show you really the kind of risk that there is in these smaller AI stocks?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why you've seen a lot of these smaller companies, you know, doing a lot of convertible notes, right? And
yeah.
So that, you know, which it's harder to depict, right? If because I think you've read off a couple where it's like, you know, they got a 3% rate and it's convertible to equity, right? And
yes.
You know, so that's a pretty, you know, on paper it looks like a cheap borrowing cost, but in reality for the company and for the equity holder, it can be expensive debt because they could turn it into equity. And
yeah.
This, with that number, it tells you, you know, it gives you kind of, okay, well, if you didn't do the convertible, right, and you had
it's
to just go
bond.
Out and straight bond,
yeah.
And it does show the risk involved.
And it's a private offering.
So yeah, which means, you know, who's going to snap
it,
that
it goes
up?
Into the private credit.
That's
it
right.
Goes into
That's
the
right.
private credit pool. So now all of a sudden, in your private credit pool that you invest in, one of those companies is CoreWeave that has to pay 9.75%. And that's why the private credit pools pay you a lot of dividends and a high coupon rate because they're full of companies like this. But how many of these won't be around, you know, when it comes time for the principal to be paid back? I still am scared to death of that private credit market. OpenAI looks to deepen its AI push into life sciences. Well, you know what? I don't know hardly any company out there anymore that's not looking at ways. Even us. Did we not look at a bunch of AI? We looked at an AI platform where we filmed the show on a day. I had a YouTube channel. I still have it. And I used to put my show up every day, the video of the show. And we're going to start doing that again. But I had a video editor that I would give the raw audio, the raw video to, and he would inject all of the headlines,
a human.
Music,
human.
The in and outs and whatnot.
Right. Yeah.
And now they have an AI product, Riverside. There's two of them, Riverside and another one, that will take the raw video and do everything that my brother-in-law used to do. So
is that crazy? Yeah, it was pretty neat. I mean, you know, when we started thinking about practical applications, right, for AI, and, you know, this is one, obviously, that, you know, me and you aren't exposed to every day, and you know, but it's something we saw, and it's you know, going to be very, very helpful, and it cuts down a lot of those, a lot of the production costs and other things.
Yes.
That you see there, and you know, I've ran into a few applications that I've heard recently, just in various industries, and you know, there's certainly a part of AI is not going anywhere. It's going to be, you know, it's productive and it's going to be used in certain situations.
Yeah,
it's just how do you apply
in
how do you apply
every
it?
Industry every
right.
industry. Okay, now here's another phenomenon that I'm seeing. I was managing money in the year 2000 during the dot-com revolution when all these companies were going online for the first time and establishing a website. And if they just added dot-com to their name and established a website, the stock would soar. The fundamentals wouldn't soar, but the stock would soar. And then they realized that the fundamentals were a little on the shaky side, and
or
the
going
stock
down.
Would crash.
Fundamentals going down as the price was going through the roof.
Yes, and right? That's the worst of both worlds. And so the NASDAQ went down 79% in 2001 and 2002. That's how overvalued it was. Now I'm seeing companies that don't do anything, like a toothpaste company, all of a sudden becomes an AI company. Here's a company called, this is the second one this week, Mizeum explodes higher as it rebrands itself with an AI label, which echoes of the dot-com vibe. This stock went up 270% on Thursday as the company put AI into the mix. And I don't know what they were before. You'd have to look at Mizeum, M-Y-S-E. But now all of us, they made trendy, Allbirds, that was the other one, who makes trendy shoes. They rebranded themselves on Wednesday as an AI company. You go from trendy shoes to an AI company, and the stock, I've seen that picture before. That's a bad movie. It doesn't have a good ending.
Maybe you can design your own shoes with AI. I don't know.
Yes, jeez. Maybe.
Of course, they still got to get made. That's the key, right? It's at some point somebody's got to turn them into a shoe. That's where the margin cut comes
from. So. Well, here's the bad news, Barry. The Kentucky Derby throws a spotlight on the prediction markets. They're not going to allow gambling on the Kentucky Derby through the prediction market because, you know, that peri-mutuel wagering, that belongs to the people that go to the track and bet money. That money goes through the parimutuel system, and the track keeps 40% of everything that's bet. And when, you know, the purses that go to the winners of the race and all the
are all based
else,
off of the
yes,
action, right?
Yeah. You can't have somebody on the outside taking bets. You got to go through the track system, even because the track has an. Now, in the old days, my dad had an offline track system called a bookie. Or we would drive down across the border in Mexico where they had what they called a foreign book. You know what a foreign book is?
No, I haven't heard this part of the story.
Yeah, I haven't told this one yet. But it's not a book about a novel written in a foreign language. No, it's it's a place you go in Mexico where that kind of wagering was legal. This is back in the late 70s and 80s. They still have foreign books down there. You go into kind of a smoke-filled room with chalkboards all over, and a guy on the microphone going, "We've got the results of the ninth rates from Hialeah in," and the guy would, you know, write the winner, and you could bet. It was off-site wagering is what it was. You didn't have to be at the track, and you could bet any track in the country. And someday I'll tell you the story where our truck got stuck in the parking garage at the foreign book, and we had to call for help, and boy, were we in hot water. Did we have some explaining to do that day? I didn't realize we had ladders on top of our truck, and the parking garage had, like, you know how they say 7 feet clearance or whatever?
Uh-huh.
We got wedged in there. And I was with another guy who was working for my father, and we had to call my father, and he says, "Where are you guys at?" Well, I'll tell you someday the rest of the story.
That's a good one.
But the horse we bet did not win either. Oracle jumps as it expands AWS deal. Now, all of a sudden, that's another one yesterday. Did you see Microsoft yesterday?
Yeah, I was talking about it with a client, actually.
And Tesla and all these stocks that have been left behind. Now this rally is extending to the losers in the market. And the rally in the Padres in baseball is extending to the losers. Like the Padres have now won 7 in a row. If they can win 7 in a row, Oracle can go up. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And this week, the other elephant in the room is the big E, and that is earnings, 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 earnings. We're in another earnings season. We have four earnings seasons per year. They're every 90 days. And I'll tell you, our work really picks up and gets pretty busy as we prepare the radio show, write the newsletter, choose companies to write articles about. Because earnings season, every company in the market will at one point report their earnings. Now, not all of them. We don't follow all of them. But the major earnings reports are critical on the individual companies for us to follow.
And you gauge that. Yeah, you gauge it each week in the newsletter.
Yes,
in terms of, I like how you give the earnings season a grade, right? Whether
yes.
You know, on the old, not on a scale, but.
No, we are, we're right now expecting 12.6% growth in earnings versus the same quarter last year. That's phenomenal. But that's at the beginning of this earnings season. And if recent history holds true, the last three earnings seasons, we started off like at 8 or 9 and ended up at 15 or 16 by the time it was over. And if we have that same kind of a trajectory this time, we'll get around 18 or 19% growth in earnings. And that's why it was very hard to be bearish when all the clickbait whores were writing articles about how the market was going to collapse. And I come along with the breath of fresh air and say, this is one of the most compelling buy opportunities I've seen in a long, long time. Because why? Because the underlying earnings were getting better and better by the day. It was incredible. So let's start with Taiwan Semiconductor. Let's take a little trip to Taiwan, Taipei, where Chinese naval craft circle daily, I'm sure, and jets buzz overhead. But in the meantime, Taiwan makes about 80% of the semiconductors in the world, and the company that that does that is Taiwan Semiconductor. Now, even though they have a plant in Arizona now, in Phoenix, and I think they have a plant maybe in Singapore, they're still made in Taiwan, but maybe, if China were to ever come in and put a blockade, what do you call it? Yeah, a blockade around Taiwan. Which Taiwan, if you're an island, everything comes in or everything goes out. You know, you'd be in real trouble if they and yeah. I just think someday, like Hong Kong disappeared in about 2 weeks. You know, my parents traveled to Hong Kong and vacationed there and loved it. And now all of a sudden it's under rule of, you know, the Communist Party. So Taiwan's an investment in Taiwan semiconductor over the last 10 years. It's delivered 34% per year to investors while the market's 24% per year. So the first thing I look at is the track record, somebody's track record. You don't want to hire somebody that's had 22 jobs in the last 1 year. There's something that doesn't add up here. I don't know. I'll be number 23.
It's going to stick.
You don't want to bet on a horse that has ran 66 times and has never won. And even though the Padres have won 7 in a row, it's been 69 years as a franchise, and they've never won a World Series. This will be the year, maybe.
You're 10 out of 11, Bill, by the way. They're 10 out of the last 11 games, and I think in their streak they got 3 walk-offs. So it's been exciting.
Well, I'm going to look at their schedule. I'm going to fly to a game, maybe fly to San Diego, see my son, grandkids again, and take them all to a Padre game. Well, anyways, Taiwan, over the last 5 years, 27, it's doubled the returns of the S&P 500. And over the last 3 years, it's averaged 64% per year. And over the last 12 months, Taiwan's up 143%. No wonder it's a major holding here. I don't own Coca-Cola. I don't own Pepsi. These are dinosaurs of yesteryear. Taiwan Semiconductor, every semiconductor pretty much goes through that plant. These companies like NVIDIA and Broadcom and whatnot, they don't build the semiconductors. They're fabless. They're fabless. They're not like the Fab Four. They're fabless. They sent their designs for the chips to a fabricator. And Taiwan is the number one fab in the world. So looking backwards is one thing. You can look backwards and still mess up. I mean, look, I've looked in the racing form. I'll hardly go anymore. There's no tracks within the driving distance of South Carolina anymore. So I'm long far away. But I did grow up near Del Mar Racetrack in San Diego. And, you know, many times you will look at a horse and say, well, he's the best horse in the race. There's no question. And it still doesn't work out, okay? And the track record, but it's a good start. I would rather, you know, look at somebody that's won 8 out of 10 races than one that's lost 66 in a row. Okay, so it's a good start. Now, the next thing I look at is the future, and that comes through in the valuation. That's projecting over the next 5 years. And even Taiwan today, after this massive run, Barry, it still has 87% upside potential over the next 5 years.
Wow.
It's still a strong buy in the system I invented, the beststocksnowapp.com, and it's ranked number 16 out of 5,213. All right? That's why Gunderson Capital has a large position in TSM. No, it's not Intel anymore. Time passed Intel by a long time ago. They're trying to make a comeback, yes. But TSM is the cat's meow when it comes to the fabrication of semiconductors. Okay, well, we are out of time, and as you know, we do own TSM. We'll be in Minneapolis in 4 weeks. I got to make sure Edie booked has found a place. You check with her after the show there, Barry.
Okay.
We'll have an exact date, but, you know, Wednesday, Tuesday night, I do the workshop. And then I speak with each one of you in private meetings. I have my team there in the room with you. We have a nice conference room with snacks and everything. And go over. I love meeting the folks. That's one of my favorite things.
That's great. Yeah.
But those appointments will go fast. You have to book a one-hour appointment with us. You can book it now. I know it's going to be that week of May 20th, and it's going to be somewhere, not the Mall of America, probably Edina, something like that. You can call Edie at 855-611-BEST to book an appointment or to reserve a seat to the workshop. Will be at 7 p.m. On Tuesday night, and I'll have a commercial on the show here soon reminding everybody of how you can attend. In the meantime, you don't have to go to Minneapolis. You can call us from anywhere in America at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment, or you can get a full-week trial to everything we've got to offer here at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.